This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation. All right, we introduced Patrick Roycey to the great, because I got to meet Shawn Michaels, my wrestling idol from the 90s this week at a sports media summit. And so Pat had never seen the famous barbershop clip where the Rockers, one of the most popular tag teams of the late 80s, AWA, early 90s, WWF, the Rockers were out on the verge of breaking up, and Shawn Michaels made it official by kicking Marty Jannetty's head off and sending him through a barbershop window. What's your assessment? It's the first time you've seen that famous clip, Pat. What's your assessment?
It was AWA worthy with a little more sophistication, but the split up of, you can't beat the split up of the tag team as promotion for wrestling. Professional wrestling has and it gets better and better. I don't, you know, that's pretty good stuff back then. Modern stuff I don't like too well, but that's old enough to be semi old school, and that would have worked. That would have worked in the AWA, I think.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have been that sophisticated, obviously. They wouldn't have had that kind of camera equipment or anything.
Yeah. Well, we were kind of wondering, because it happened a few months before WrestleMania in 1992. And so, you know, and Declan and I remember that was WrestleMania 8, and those guys, Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels, did not face each other at that WrestleMania or any WrestleMania. So we're wondering, well, that's a great setup for a feud. You blow off the feud at WrestleMania, right?
That's why you have the feud, right?
Sell tickets, right? Yes. And so a deep dive into Wikipedia here, and apparently, Marty Jannetty was scheduled to return, you know, after he nursed his injuries, right? Because he was bleeding everywhere. And he was going to start a feud with Shawn Michaels. They were going to go one-on-one at WrestleMania 8. However, in the early hours of January 25th, 1992, Jannetty was arrested in Tampa, Florida after an altercation with police. His female companion, a 19-year-old named Angelica, was arrested for trying to use a fake ID. Jannetty assaulted the police officer performing the arrest, which led to his subsequent arrest. They were found to be in possession of a gram of cocaine. Jannetty was charged with possession of cocaine, possession of dread paraphernalia, and resisting arrest with force. Therefore, he was sentenced to 6 months of house arrest and had to miss WrestleMania.
We cannot have anybody in the WWE who would take cocaine. This was one of the first times that this has ever, any wrestler had ever been accused of that, I'm sure. And also not a girl that was underage, but damn near. That was the groupies for wrestling were always an interesting when you would see them hanging around, it was always an interesting crew. That was for sure.
Yeah.
They look, you know what they look like? They look like they were, they would experiment, I think. They look like they were not, you know, it was hard to have a bad idea around them, I would guess. That's the way it looked.
They're just kind of up for anything, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that's kinda, right. That was what I was
trying. Up for whatever.
I was trying to do it a little classier, but I couldn't come up with a better word.
So. They're just kind of open to do whatever. So
yes, but
so that's why the most famous tag team partner turn never resulted in, like, I think they had a feud a couple years later, but it didn't.
I remember how big the Rockers were, though. It was huge. That now, what were they? Had they launched their? They hadn't launched their own network by then, had they? In the early '90s, had they launched their own network?
The WWE. They were with with USA Network, mm-hmm. and NBC. They were still doing like Saturday night, you know, main event stuff.
What was the one that Ted Turner was going to try to compete with him? WCW?
WCW. Yeah.
WCW. Mm-hmm. Friend of mine, Kenny Laker, was the old ball rider, crazy guy. wonderful guy from the 70s, still a good friend of mine, but he did their magazine for about 5 years. Oh. Young, hung around with all the WCW people, wound up getting divorced and and other things. But he has some tales to tell about hanging out with the grapplers back then.
Oh, my gosh.
Ted was making it hard. Who was the guy that would never lose? That
Bill Goldberg.
Bill Goldberg, yeah, he's from here. I mean, he wasn't from here, but he's, he was. He was a St. Louis Park guy, right? The Goldbergs were from Steve. Steve played for the Gophers and was a restaurant owner here, and the Goldberg clan was from up here. And
so he I don't know if he had family, but his roots are in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay,
I believe.
All right. But he ended up, that was one of the worst ideas they ever had, to let him get beat, right?
I think they let him get beat. Instead of doing it on like a pay-per-view, I think they did it on free TV, which was their big problem.
That would have been
problem.
A bad mistake, yes. Anyway.
His win
so,
streak.
We should talk about Gopher hockey, but first, who watched the end of the Kansas State basketball game last night?
Saw a little bit.
I did.
That the end of the Big Ten, for second straight year, they don't get a guy, get a team in the Elite Eight, but that little guard, Noel, that play that when he and the coach are like having this debate, he's holding the ball up high and, you know, up top. They're having a debate. And he goes, boom, throws this lob pass. And the whole Michigan State team's looking over to see what the coach is telling him to do. And he throws that lob pass to that guy who dunks it. That pretty much that put them in a commanding position. That was a fantastic moment in basketball. Didn't you think?
Yes. He had like 19 assists in that game.
19
assists in a college game.
Against an Izzo team. And they carved him up inside with his passes and a lot of layups. And you don't see an Izzo team score 93 and get beat too often. That's for sure.
No.
But you were right again, Royce. Big Ten. Every year we talk about how great it is and how many teams they deserve in. They don't.
Last year, I looked it up. They did get two to the – I thought they only got one of the Sweet 16. They got two to the Sweet 16 last year, one to the – and none to the Elite Eight. So the last 2 years, 17 teams have been selected from the Big Ten. None have made the Elite Eight. I looked up the women today. They have there's three left in 16. The Big Ten women's basketball way better than Big Ten men's basketball right now.
Yeah, yeah. I saw Gonzaga blew like a 9-point lead in the last minute last night, and then hit a three to ultimately win it at the end. And who's that guy? That Timmy guy who looks like he's 43 years old.
Yes,
he's got a
right.
mustache, and he's been with Gonzaga since like the late 90s, I'm pretty sure. Judge said he goes back to the Dan Munson era.
Yeah, well, they are very defensive about that out there. They, Art Thiel was a sports writer out there for years, and he tweeted out something the other day about how long Timmy's been around. This is only his fourth season, and they were all the Gonzaga fans. I got a hunch that's a sensitive group, don't you think? The Gonzaga fans are spoiled, and they. I got a hunch they.
They've gone from this lovable underdog for like 5 or 10 years to now everyone's looking at their watch like, all right, guys, it's been 25 years. Can we win a national championship finally?
Yeah,
can we
true.
Get this done?
I don't think this is the team that's going to do it. I actually Kansas State. What did they do? They were bad, and then they got the new coach, and he's kind of a different looking guy. But I think he look creative. He looks like he'll go get some players if he has to, right? He's first year there, right?
Well, you should. Speaking of, tell me what you were. I actually called you about this yesterday. The Dinkytown Collective. We've got more information now, and it's worse than we thought. That they're shacked up at Blarney's like once a week to raise 50 cents.
I don't know. That was what I was suggesting, but. There was a story yesterday that ended up running on the Star Tribune website about that I was reading about how all these teams now have added. You're supposed to only have so many assistant coaches, but they add general manager and director of operations and all these all around the country, all these good these program, Houston and places like that, Alabama, obviously, they are adding these guys, and they spend an immense amount of time working on NIL money, right? They're organizing it, doing whatever. Well, the Gophers are of the opinion that it had to go through the Dinky Town Collective, and none of these staffers work like the Gopher basketball program doesn't have any of these guys. And apparently Coyle, when he introduced the new women's coach, said that they now are going to have a couple people in the administration who are going to try to coordinate NIL. This is like, running the mile against some guy who's 12 minutes faster than you or something. They got some catching up to do, but they still aren't putting them on the staff of the, NIL is way more important in basketball than any other sport. I mean, football, it's nice to have, but in basketball, one or two players are the difference between being good and being rotten, right? And they have no way now. Maybe they're going to have something that maybe Ben Johnson will now be allowed to talk to somebody in the administration, and that's going to be somehow involved in NIL. But they're so far behind the curve, and they're also been terrible at raising money so far. So.
You saw this from like 2 years away. How did you not develop a plan 5 years ago?
And people, don't worry about the NCAA. People are doing anything they want. They know that it's, Miami has these two guys that have one guy, I don't know if he's a car dealer or something, but you say you like the car and you get $200,000 or something. I mean, they got, Miami's got a basketball, women's basketball and men's basketball booster doing anything they want to. And nobody's doing anything about it. The NCAA is not doing anything about it. And up here, we're going to follow all the rules. That's good. Okay.
Minnesotans are such rule followers. You know, my wife makes fun of me for that because she's from Wisconsin where they like to break rules, right? Yeah. You're like, you're such a rule. Last night we had a friend parking. So long story short, my wife and one of her friends went to the Wayzata and Lakeville game last night because they have there's a family friend who plays for Wayzata.
It was a dandy, I guess.
It was. We had a buzzer beater by Wayzata. And one of the cars was parked outside at a meter, and you're not supposed to park at these meters past 10 o'clock. And I'm getting all nervous at like 10:15, 10:20. We got to move the car. And they're both like, why are we so polite? Just go. Are we that shell-shocked from 25 years ago writing some papers and getting the banner stripped down that we're going to wait 5 years to see what everyone else does with NIL?
That's right. We're behind Iowa, for God's sakes, in that stuff. And Caitlin Clark said a couple of weeks before she played here that they were asking her about perhaps going to the WNBA. Now, she'd have to wait, I guess, a year but eventually, and she says, well, the money isn't that much different.
Right.
She's getting enough NIL money right now that she wouldn't make that much more money if she was playing in the WNBA.
Yeah.
So why not be the local hero and, just keep playing where you are. It's we're just unbelievable.
The thing I don't get, Pat, though, is we live in a metro area with a ton of graduates and it's white collar. So that's what confuses me. We're not podunk. We've got the money. How can we not find the money?
I do not know, because I will say that we got 5-6 pro teams fighting for their money too, to buy tickets and suites and all that stuff and the corporations. But the corporations aren't. You have to find a specific outfit. Like Hy-Vee is a great big Iowa NIL boost. You gotta get somebody like that. You gotta get somebody so these players can pretend like, go shop at, go on Instagram and go shop at Hy-Vee. I think the other thing is, do we have anybody over at the U that has hundreds of tens of thousands of of Instagram followers and that stuff. I mean, the women that get it are, you know, what do they call them? Influencers in the NIL now. The two kids, the two twins from Miami we were talking about are making a couple hundred thousand a year each, and they just knocked off Indiana. So,
yeah,
it's, I don't know.
Well, the good news is the Gopher men's hockey team doesn't need NIL to whip up on Canisius.
No.
That game was dicey about halfway through, and then the Gophers scored 8 goals.
They were down 2-1, what, early 3 minutes into the second period. And if I would like to have a $5 bill for every time Holy Cross appeared in my Twitter file right then when that happened. And I did put out, settle down here. It's 10 minutes until pucker time. Okay, he gets it late in the second period, then he can start getting nervous, right? But then they... you were watching, weren't you, Judd?
Yeah.
Did you watch? What was that idiot kid from Canisius taking that run at? Who'd he take the run at? One of our defensemen.
I don't remember, but yeah, he left his
skates, hit him, and the guy was just carrying the puck way down at the other end of the ice.
Yeah.
And just left his skate and hit him right in the head with a shoulder. There was. The fact that they haven't had to even look at it to see it was a major, and then so
it turned the whole game. Didn't they score? Well, they scored 2 goals scored on the 5-minute major. They almost scored 3, and they
had waved one of them off, but then they got another one real quick. But as Mr. Hockey said, getting a 5-minute major when you're significantly worse than the other team is not going to work out well, right? I mean, that was just idiotic, but I don't know. I thought they were a little tense. They just weren't flying like they usually do, but I think they're fine now. It is a great meeting, though, Saturday, isn't it? St. Cloud State.
Are you going?
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to drive up, but I might go halfway tonight so I can sleep tomorrow or something a little bit beforehand, but I'm going to go up, and I like the Gophers, but St. Cloud's a pretty good team. They split with them during the year, so. Mm-hmm. It will, but the Motzko angle is hard to resist here. What was he, 15 years at St. Cloud? Mm-hmm. St. Cloud. So I was a big Husky fan when he was there now, but now that he's at the Gophers, it's kind of nice not to laugh when the Gophers lose like I used to.
you're turning into a big Gopher softie now. This is great.
I am. Everything but football.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amazing. Pat, we got to run. Enjoy your trip up there for a great Minnesota Hockey Clash, and we'll catch you on Monday.
All right, gentlemen. See ya.
Yep. All right, there he is. Royce Unchained. Actually, we got someone sent us a question
about that.
We got Husky Declan versus Gopher Mackie. We have to come up with some stakes for the weekend. So, all right, that's Royce Unchained. You can find everything he does on the Royce Unchained podcast feed, Apple, Spotify, ScoreNorth.com. See ya.